Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Let's explore this more. Joining us on the Say Tama Hotline, it's our friend Peter Burns of the SEC Network. Peter, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I know I'm already ready for my Thanksgiving nap, and it's not even Thursday, and I haven't even had turkey yet. So I'm trying to get in game mode this week.
Just stop, because I stopped and got breakfast this morning, and I get a sandwich. I get two sandwiches on toast with egg, and one has sausage, and one has bacon, and I got tater tots this morning. So I roll in. Then Peter, there's two dozen donuts at the front desk when I come in.
Oh, God, doing the Lord's work this week. I mean, listen, they got a bunch of games this week starting Thursday. You got to get your head right. I like it.
Got to get my sugar level up. That's it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Peter, before we brought you on, we were playing a clip from the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday. Greg McElroy and Cole Kublik were filling in for Paul, and Greg is of the mind that LSU is a slightly better job than Florida. They were discussing the possibility of Lincoln Riley jumping ship and taking one of those two jobs. Would you agree with that? I would say yes, simply because LSU is more closely removed from a national title. But all other things considered, I would say the jobs are nearly even. What's your assessment?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at as far as – I think the biggest advantage that LSU has over Florida, Scott, is the fact that they are the only school in that state, right? I mean, no offense to Louisiana Tech or you know, Louisiana Lafayette. Billy Napier has been doing really well there. They're the only Power 5 school, and the amount of talent that they had is one of the reasons why LSU has won, what, three titles with three different coaches, right? I mean, that you keep that talent in the state of Louisiana, you're going to have a lot of fun and a lot of success. For Florida, you've got Miami, you've got Florida State, now UCF and Gus Malzahn's making a run, and we saw South Florida back in the day. So, you know, obviously – it's a little tougher recruiting in Florida. Facility-wise, I think Florida is behind pretty much the majority of the SEC schools right now. You know, they have okay facilities, but not like, you know, what they have at Alabama or Georgia or LSU or even Clemson, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, the only advantage I think Florida has over LSU right now is LSU has some off-the-field issues that are still kind of, you know, lurking with the NCAA, whether it's their men's program or basketball or football. So I think that's the only advantage I give Florida right now when it comes to how attractive that job is.
But with regards to Lincoln Riley, though, I would have to think that either would make more sense when it comes to competing in the Southeastern Conference, because it's simply going to be easier to recruit inside that footprint from one of the traditional schools. When Oklahoma comes aboard, I think it might be more difficult. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, but then I also look at, I thought that was going to be the case with Texas A&M coming into the conference, and, you know, Jimbo has done a hell of a job. I mean, even Sumlin was doing a great job recruiting back there. You know, I do agree with that. I mean, I think that when you come here into the SEC, Oklahoma's going to have a rude awakening. Now, I think Lincoln's done a great job there, and frankly, kind of, you know me, I'm a big LSU fan. The only candidate that's out there that I looked up and I go, man, I would love that guy to be in Baton Rouge is Lincoln Riley. Because I think of the quarterback play, right? I mean, you know what, he had three straight Heisman finalists running that offense. And can you imagine if LSU is able to find another Joe Burrow under Lincoln? I think it makes sense. But again, you know, I mean, I would imagine Oklahoma football understands that the last thing we want to do is join the SEC and have to replace a Lincoln Riley. So, I mean, I imagine Lincoln's probably going to make somewhere like $11, $12 million next year, which is absolutely out of control. But, frankly, it might be worth it for Oklahoma to spend that money to keep him.
Joined by Peter Burns of the SEC Network. And, Peter, it's like you're reading my notes. That was literally my next question for you. Who would be the best fit? Who would be the best fit for you at Florida? I mean, if Lincoln Riley doesn't take either job, who would be your dream fits for both LSU and Florida?
I mean, again, I'm going way off the wall. And it's not going to happen because he just said, hey, listen, unless the Tooth Fairy comes down for $250 million, I'm not taking the job. And that was Brian Kelly when talking about the USC job. So as much as I'd love to see Brian Kelly out at LSU, I don't think that's going to happen. As far as, you know, for Florida, I find it really intriguing that Florida probably has to wait until they figure out what's going on with Manny Diaz in Miami. If they decide to keep Manny Diaz in Miami, Florida might be in play for Lane Kiffin. You know, obviously he's had success in the state of Florida. He's done a great job in Oxford, but I think, you know, the SEC East is a little bit easier to play in than the SEC West right now, and you can probably recruit a little bit better at Florida. So I think now if Manny Diaz leaves, if they end up firing Manny, I think Lane would probably make a whole lot of sense at Miami, and then Jeff Lebby would take over for Ole Miss, who's the offensive coordinator over there.
I don't want to hear it, man. I like Lane and Ole Miss, man. I just think it's such
Love Lane at Ole Miss. I'm with you, brother. I feel like we're in a really good spot with Heupel being over at Tennessee. I love Shane Beamer and what he's building at South Carolina. Lane there, Leach at State, Jimbo at A&M. Like, I feel like this is a really good group of coaches we have in their locations right now. But, you know, we live in Jimmy Sexton's world, and he's the super agent that pulls all the strings.
You know, Peter, help me out here and make sure my math is not askew, because I already said one big false fact earlier. Listen to this. You'll actually like this, Peter. Remember the song Walking in Memphis?
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Cohen. I spoke it like it was the truth, and how dare anybody, you know, accuse me of being wrong. I spoke it that Mark Cohen was a former Cincinnati Bengal. I got him confused with a guy named Mike Reed. My credibility shot, man.
Listen, if you would have told me that, I would have said, sure. I had no idea. As long as you say something confidently enough on radio, people will believe you. I do that all the time.
It's not a lie, Jerry, if you believe it.
That's right.
Joined by Peter Burns of the SEC Network. Peter, I was working it through my head yesterday, and I regret not writing it down, but according to my mental math, there have been 10 coaching changes in the Southeastern Conference over the past 3 years. Does that sound right?
Sounds about right, yeah, because I looked it up yesterday. Kirby Smart is the third longest tenured coach in the SEC, and he was hired just, 5 years ago?
Yeah, right, behind Stoops.
I mean, that's 11 coaches in the last, 5, 6 years? I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah, but I think if you go back even sooner, you go back to 2018, was that Jimbo's first year at A&M, or was it 2019?
It would have been his second year there.
So you have LSU and Florida open this year. Last year you had
right.
Kiffin, Leach, Drinkwitz, and who was the other one last year? I'm blanking.
Heupel.
Well, you had
this year.
Vandy was open as well too.
Clark
South
Lee.
Carolina. I mean,
yeah.
We had eight
Auburn.
Coaches. We had two. We had four brand new coaches each of the last 2 years. So that's eight. And then you can add it from there. Anyway, I don't know what the math is on live radio. It's a a bunch of different coaches and a bunch of buyout dollars.
Yeah, we're forgetting Sam Pittman, Arkansas last year.
Right.
But to what do you attribute this? I mean, is it just the natural attrition, the meat grinder that is the Southeastern Conference, or is it a new wave of athletic directors coming in and expecting success immediately? Coaches aging out? I mean, how do you explain this?
Yeah, it's both. It's the pressure cooker. It's the best football conference that also has the most amount of pressure, right? I mean, everybody, you know, it just means more, and it just means more especially to the boosters, right? I mean, and I think, you know, my theory on this is that, you know, since the pandemic, I think the people that really helped kind of save the athletic departments and their budgets when things were going a little awry in these last year and a half, were the boosters. In return, the booster says, listen, I'll save you right now because I got the money to, you know, to donate and give back to the athletic department, but I want a whole lot more say. And I think the athletic departments now have looked at it and said, all right, hey, listen, we won't necessarily pay these buyouts, but if you, the boosters, want to put your private money together and put it together, well, hey, how are we going to say no to that? And I think that it's boosters having more power than ever and more leverage. But I also think it's just because Kirby is building what Nick has at Alabama, and everybody wants that gold standard, and they're fighting to try to get it, and people don't understand that that's not easy to obtain.
And, Peter, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot with this, but if I am, I apologize. One of the things that we haven't really touched on very often on this program is the status of Brian Harsin at Auburn.
Yep.
I mean, is there any update in that? It was my understanding that as recently as a week ago he was brought up, he has not disclosed his vaccination status, and there's a mandate, a state, right? State-issued mandate requiring employees to get the vaccine. Has Brian Harsin gave us any clarity? What's the latest?
None. And that's, you know, we've asked that question as well, too, and we've gotten stonewalled from Brian Harsin, who says, listen, it's a private matter. And I totally understand that aspect of it for him not to say it, but it totally allows us to understand why we're questioning on, hey, what happens? I believe the countdown is December the 8th, that because of that mandate, which is not something that the governor can change, from what I understand, it was one of the educational institutional mandates that they have, that, you know, at some point either he's able to get some type of extension, which Nick Rolovich was not able to get over at Washington State. And you know what happened with Nick? Nick ended up being relieved of his duties there, and he's now suing the school. So, you know, Auburn could be one of those names that come up as well, too, if all of a sudden Harsin doesn't want to go down that road. So, and maybe he already is and just says, hey, I just don't talk about it. And it's a moot point, and you know, we'll find that out December 8th. But, yeah, that adds a whole nother wrinkle to what's going on in this coaching carousel right now.
Crazy. Joined by Peter Burns of the SEC Network. And, Peter, a name that we hear mentioned a lot, and I don't think he would leave Lexington for anything, would be Mark Stoops. What he's done in his decade with the Wildcats is absolutely tremendous, considering that it had absolutely no football history. What kind of situation, what kind of offer do you think it would take, though, to get Stoops to leave to go somewhere else?
I mean, I love Coach Stoops. And, again, kind of like how we talked about how Lane just fits there. I mean, if there's a coach that fits his personality outside of, you know, Sam Pittman in Arkansas, it's what Stoops has built, that blue-collar mentality for the Wildcats. And I just don't know. I see both LSU and Florida fan bases looking at and going, do we hire the Kentucky coach? Well, guess what? I mean, Bear Bryant was a Kentucky coach as well, too. That worked out pretty well for Alabama, right? Like, so I always thought that he was going to take the Florida State job, and they didn't give him the Florida State job, and then he stayed at Kentucky. So I think he would be a great hire, not necessarily for LSU, but for Florida. I think that he could recruit well, and he can develop some players, and I think he has such an intense passion and hatred towards Florida State that he would wake up every single morning going, how am I going to beat the Seminoles? And maybe I know it's worked well for Kirby because he thinks that about Alabama and Florida. Maybe that would work well for Mark Stoops over at for the Gators.
And, Peter, before we let you go, South Carolina bowl eligible year one under Shane Beamer, 6 wins, only 9 points away from having about 8 wins. You can't help but to play the game of what might have been. Does Shane Beamer need to beat Clemson this week to get SEC Coach of the Year?
It would sure help, right? I mean, I think Pittman's in that group. Of course, Kirby is, with all the injuries that they've had, and they still haven't even, you know, missed a beat. It's the number one team in the country. I mean, just the job that Shane's done, because I frankly thought this was going to be probably the outside of Vanderbilt, the least talented team, and yet they just play as a team. You know, Scott, you watch them play, they're always, every single huddle, they're helping each other up, and on the sidelines, they're great, and the energy's awesome. If he wins it against in year one, hell, he might as well just retire at that point, because it may not get any better right now with the year that he's had, you know, all joking aside, to beat Clemson in your first year. So, I don't know. That's I still think it's going to be Kirby no matter what happens. But, gosh, if Shane can do that in year one, that's going to turn the tide a little bit in the SEC East for sure.
It's Peter Burns of the SEC Network. You can follow him on Twitter at PeterBurnsESPN. Peter, appreciate coming on today, bub. Happy Thanksgiving.
Always for you, Scott. Later, bud.
Later, man.